LBW. Oh, he's got him.
That's well run. Or is it? Oh, a fielder. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great effort. That's unbelievable. That is sensational. Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.
In the eternal words of the Russian revolutionary Vladimir Lenin, there are test matches when nothing happens, and there are five over periods of spin against South Africa's top order when everything happens. We were chatting when the score was 175-1, and I actually said to you, South Africa will be looking at a lead of 250. Aidan Markram was putting in a career-defining knock. Rusty van der Dissen was on track for a first test 100. Twitter was a happy place. The pandemic was in the back of our minds. The economy was looking good. You know, all charts were going up. And then Rusty van der Dissen on 64 bunts a ball straight to silly points off Yasser Shah. Within five overs, Faf du Plessis is out, having gone back to a ball he should have been forward to. Aidan Markram is out as well on 74, having faced 224 balls. South Africa are 187-4 with a lead of 29, and everything's depressing again. How are you?
Sooner or later, it all comes crashing down, crashing down when no one is around. Bro, that is, you know how happy I was about half an hour ago? My life was perfect.
Bruh.
Things were so, I'm recording this next to a coffee shop because my lights went out as the wickets went out. It's almost as if God and ESCOM were like, yo, you don't want to see what's going to happen next. You and I were having a fat conversation about how, like, we're going to get 250, maybe 300. I was already about to tweet going, hey, my guys, these guys aren't going to win. Fifth day. These guys are done. But, reality set in, and that's what happens. But I do want to say kudos to Markram and Rusty van der Dissen. They did the one thing that we had asked them to do.
That's right. And well, maybe we should start at the very beginning. I remember a couple of weeks ago when we were playing, because I play for South Africa and represent the entire nation. And I will be saying we for the rest of my life on this podcast. When we were playing Sri Lanka, and people were criticizing Lutus Opamla for only getting wickets against the tail. Yasser Shah, 38 of 37 balls. Naam Ali, 24 of 49 balls. Hassan Ali, 21 of 33. Fahim Ashraf, 64 of 84. Those are the last four Pakistani batters. Is Lutus Opamla the only guy who can take wickets off tailenders?
Daniel, I wish I knew, to be honest. I mean, having a team that's 33-4, and I think the last time you spoke was the end of day one, and allowing them to score 378, and then allowing the last few batsmen to play shots. Yasser Shah hit a cover drive off Anrich Nokia like it was Lutus Opamla. That's what it was. It was, I don't want to say it was bad bowling, because I don't think it was bad bowling, but maybe, I don't know. You know, sometimes I think about like good captaincy and bad captaincy. And I'm not saying Quinton de Kock is a bad captain. Like I said on the first day, he's too new in this thing to be a bad captain. But some of the fielding positions have to be spoken about. That being said, sometimes the tail wags.
No, sure. I say it tongue-in-cheek. Like you say, sometimes tails do wag. And it's not like, I think a lot of cricket truths that we hold as sacrosanct were found in an era that doesn't exist anymore. You know, a tail ender today is not the tail ender of the 1980s. You know, these guys do work on their batting. They have technique. They have helmets, so they're not as scared of the bounce as they used to be. So I think they play T20 cricket, so they know how to play cricket shots. So I don't think a tail wagging today is, you know, if the Pakistan tail in 1975 scored these runs, then there's a crisis. But let's be honest, South Africa had bigger problems then.
But I also feel it's a tale of two different lineups. It's like you remove their top order so cheaply and you let them back into the game.
Well, that's what the frustration is. But one positive note, Khisa Rabada picked up his 200th wicket with just...
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw on SuperSport, they were just showing all 200 wickets.
I didn't. I hope...
From beginning to end, it was the most beautiful, like, it was the best, like, lunch break you could ever get. You know, generally they do, like, a masterclass. Yeah. They have, like, a really bad interview. This was fantastic. This was just 200 wickets and good wickets.
Oh, that, I'll never forget that one where he got David Warner, where the stump just cartwheeled about four times.
Yes. Oh, one of my favorites. One of my favorites.
I mean, we've said so many nice things about Kagiso Rabada. You've fought hard to include him already in South Africa's best ever 11.
Yes.
I mean, what else can we say about the guy? He is already a superstar and will retire as a great.
Nothing. Someone actually posted a photo of Dale Steyn's average and Kagiso Rabada's test wicket average. One is 22.95, which is Dale Steyn, and one is 22.96, which is Kagiso Rabada. And if Dale Steyn is our greatest bowler of all time at 22.95, Kagiso Rabada will easily become the greatest South African bowler of all time. I don't think that we will find another Kagiso Rabada for another generation. That's not saying that we won't have great cricketers during that time, but I think Kagiso Rabada will be the greatest fast bowler of his generation and probably the next. They'll speak about him with the reverence they speak about Jacques Kallis.
Yeah, no, I think that's there's no doubt about that. But you're saying that about generational players. I mean, I didn't think we'd find a Kagiso Rabada so soon after the I don't want to say demise. That's a hard word. After the decline of Dale Steyn. South Africa's fast bowlers, it's like an endless conveyor belt. I'm pretty confident there'll be another one. But let's just enjoy Kagiso while we can. So then South Africa go out and they're facing a deficit of what was it, about 150 odd. And
158.
And I wasn't too confident, I must say. But look, credit to Dean Elgar and Aidan Markram. They laid a solid platform. And Dean Elgar, again, you know, we use words like grits. And he's just a hard bastard, isn't he?
Gutsy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, his pinky finger took a bit of a knock, and I think that put him off a bit. But, I mean, the only thing I've ever asked for the lineup to do before the mini collapse happened is to bat.
Yeah.
There's so many. The application that Aidan Markram and Rassie van der Dussen put together was astounding, because I don't think we've done that in the subcontinent. I can't remember a time. I literally can't remember time. And I'm not talking about subcontinent Bangladesh or subcontinent Sri Lanka. I'm talking about, like, Pakistan is a good, decent team on the subcontinent. Yeah. As it's like, you know, but then yet again, all that application goes to waste when you lose quick wickets like
that.
And I'm starting to
Let's not talk about the collapse just yet, because let's just stay on the application shown by Dean, not Dean Elgar. So Dean Elgar went, you say, he could.
By Aidan Markram. If Aidan Markram does
by
that.
Aidan Markram and Rassie van der Dussen.
If Aidan Markram continues to do that, and there's nothing wrong with application, that's how Pakistan got back into this game, via application. Yeah. It's like we speak, remember people telling us, oh, Rassie needs to turn over the strike more.
Oh, my God.
No, he doesn't.
You.
He needs to eat balls. Eat balls. And that's what the only reason we got to 170 for one is because our players were eating balls. There's a point in that game where they had to bowl Yasser Shah again because we had batted him out. They didn't have a clue of what they were doing.
Yeah.
And they knew that once they got one of them, they could roll a few more.
Well, I just wonder if Sean Pollock and Mackay Ntini and JP Duminy, who were watching Rassie van der Dussen bats against Sri Lanka and were saying, well, he's not a number three because he's not taking on the attack well enough. I wonder if they were watching this, like, you know what? Well, he could be rotating the strike a bit more. For me, it was so good. It was so, so good. It was just a fantastic top-notch.
Top-notch South African cricket. And how often do we get to say that?
She's half, and have we said that in the last few years?
Yeah. And then Daryl Cullinan's dream came true. Wickets started falling. I've never seen a South African calling for a Pakistan win before. Like Daryl Cullinan. I'm pretty sure Daryl Cullinan has changed his name to Imtiaz.
Well, well, he's got more friends in Pakistan, I can tell you that.
Yeah, definitely. 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 That guy is more obsessed with the tea that he got served at breakfast today than the cricket itself. So he's very happy that South Africa on the back foot. And tomorrow I don't expect us to put up much of a fight.
Bang average Norton Crosses player, though. He plays Norton Crosses with as much aptitude as he did Shane Warne.
Yeah, he plays Norton Crosses as well as the guys that do the in-game advertising for that Norton Crosses thing on the television.
Can someone just get them a new board so the Norton Crosses can stick on the board because they keep falling off?
Yeah, I just like those things, bro, because they do those in-game adverts where they'll be like, oh, it's tea time, and then they'll give the tea to the people that are in the stadium. But it's not like real fans. They're just like, oh, it's the people watching the game. It's like, no, dog, those are the cameramen.
Yeah.
It's like the cameramen recording other cameramen drinking tea. That's what it is. But Daniel, I don't know what the last score was before the...
Oh, okay. Well, obviously you weren't listening at the very beginning of the show, so you were too busy getting lost in my Vladimir
Beautiful
Lenin
soliloquy.
Quote.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
South Africa closed on 187 for four. Faf du Plessis. Oh. So after Rassie went caught at short at silly point by Abed Ali, and then Faf went. He went back to Yasser Shah when he should have gone forward. It's interesting about Faf du Plessis because going back to that ball when he should have been forward shows a scrambled mind. Now, far for me to criticize Faf du Plessis, but at the start of the series, before the series, Faf du Plessis was saying how he's had sleepless nights over Yasser Shah. He thinks of him all the time. And I wonder if I don't necessarily think that's true. I don't think Faf du Plessis wakes up in the... I mean, look at that man's abs. That is a man who sleeps well. You know, I just know that he sleeps well.
No, but he can sleep well, but I tell you one thing, can't play Yasser Shah for toffee.
No, but Sim, this is my point. I wonder if you know, Faf du Plessis enjoys engaging with the media. He likes giving out these lines. And I wonder if he actually psyched himself out when he didn't really need to. I wonder if he had painted himself in a corner, be like, oh, shit, does Yasser Shah give me sleepless nights? Well, he doesn't, but maybe he should be. Oh, I don't really know how to play him. I felt like him going back to that delivery was him playing the man, not the ball. But be that as it may, that wasn't the end of the world at 175. Beg your pardon. When did he go? At 185 for three. But then on the next over, or two overs later, Aidan Markham just bunts one straight to silly point again, and he's gone. And 175 for one becomes 185 for four.
Who's at the crease now, Daniel?
Quinton de Kock is not out on zero. He's faced nine balls. And Keshav Maharaj, who was the night watchman, is there on two of six. Also, it's just a lot of banter when you send out the night watchman as we did. The established batsman goes out, and then Quinton de Kock, the captain, has to come out anyway. That's just kind of funny.
Those things always make me laugh, but oh well.
So some a lead of 29.
28 runs too many.
Is all up
28
to...
runs too many.
If South Africa lose this game, and it's kind of looking like they might, but I mean, who knows? This Test match has been fantastic. It's been turning so many times. Yeah. If they do lose this game, it's because they were bowled out for 220 on a first day wicket, with Dean Elgar and Quinton de Kock throwing the wicket away, and Rassie van der Dis and Themba Bavuma getting run out.
No more. Daniel, you've said too much. That is it. This is one of the few Test matches that if we lose, we lost it on day one. That's it.
Well, some of those, I mean, you the people listening to this won't see this. Simi is in his car looking down at me. I feel like his little child who he's scolding in the passenger seat.
Bro, anything to get this podcast out.
For trying to pull the handbrake up while you're on the highway. Or like open the door.
Load shedding things. So I'm outside a coffee shop getting Wi-Fi, speaking to my friend Daniel.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's wrap it up there. Guys, Short Fine Legs, Simi Arif, Daniel Gallen. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Shout for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run. Or is it? Oh, a fielder. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done. What a great...